As you do that, please continue to pray for a building. Amen. Please continue to pray in English, in French, in German, in Dutch, whatever language is yours, keep praying it. Amen. Really important. Acts chapter 2, verse 42-47 says these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. May God bless His word to us this morning. Matt, take it down a little bit. It's a bit of a hum. Now, in the 2016 US presidential election, between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, in that particular race, Donald Trump came out and basically said that he would be the one who would fix America's problems. Hillary Clinton picked up on that, and they changed their logo, or their punchline, their campaign statement, to Stronger Together. And she was basically saying that, I can't imagine him on a white horse coming to the rescue, etc. And America will be stronger together. It doesn't all depend on Trump. They published the book, her and Tim Kaine, her running mate, and they called it Stronger Together. That's the name of the book that they call it. And of course, we all know they failed. They failed because Trump went on to win, and she had to lick her wounds. Without really commenting on that, for me, the interesting thing is that the individual, Trump the individual, won the day. And it seemed to reflect where we are in the West as a nation, or nations in the West, where the individual seems to be of greater import than the community. And therefore, for example, as individuals, we can do, it seems that everything's tailoring down and working through the economy and through the society, where the need of every individual is becoming greater and recognized. So in terms of your sexuality, in terms of your marriage, in terms of business, in terms of mentality, in terms of emotionally, it's as if the individual has arisen, and we're becoming more and more of an individualistic society, and there'll be a plethora of new things that are still going to come for individuals, because that's the way we are at this particular point in time. So it seems to be all about how we feel, what we want, and what our rights are as individuals. The Bible is actually opposite to that. It is opposite to that. Scripture tells us, you are not your own, you've been bought with a price. We belong to Jesus, and we become part of the body of Christ. We are not on our own, we are not individuals above and beyond the body of Christ. Psalmist tells us that a three-chord rope is better than one strand. It's stronger. It holds together. Hebrews tells us that we should not stop meeting together. In fact, when it comes to unity and togetherness, if you read in Genesis 11, God intervenes where there is negative unity negative togetherness, because he recognizes that there's power in togetherness. The Lord said, Genesis 11:6, when they were building the Tower of Babel, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. And that's incredible, that God himself should intervene where he sees a people speaking one language, being of one mind, setting out to accomplish a project, which was to build this tower, this Babel, which in itself meant confusion. And he had to intervene. Put that on the other foot. What would happen if the people of God were together? Really together. What power would be there? What possibilities would be there? It's got to be that it is greater than if the unbelievers were. Surely. It just makes logical common sense. And it's this togetherness that, as a leadership, we want to explore through this year. Because we're in a position now where everything's changed. Obviously, building-wise and stuff, since November, we've been in four different venues. There's been change in terms of our young people. They've grown up, moved on, many of them at university, etc. Two generations worth, actually. And we have a younger group, generally speaking, where we've got to rebuild. We're rebuilding in terms of core workers, in terms of many who have been long-term, who've served and given, some have moved on, you know, maybe 10, 15 years or more that they've been here. Or they've stepped back because it's time that others stepped up and took the ropes. There's been change. There's also been a change in terms of the rotation of the church. So although we've lost key workers, etc., for positive reasons, because the church has also received new people, the periphery of the church, the bigger wheel, has become more transient. Folks coming to have a look and see if this is the place for them, that kind of thing, where the hub remains roughly the same. The movement around it has increased. And what we need is to cement those people into the church so that they become, make the hub bigger, make the workforce bigger, rather than a bigger transient and a smaller workforce. Am I making sense? So we're going through all that kind of change at the moment. And this year is quite important that we begin to get that right. And therefore this togetherness is really, really important. Why we felt that we've got to get that absolutely right. The only way that we're going to achieve being able to do what happened in the New Testament is if we can get this togetherness right. Because as long as we are together, we can handle the building issue. Amen? As long as we're together, we can handle movement, of which in London churches there is always movement. As long as we're together, we can handle our weaknesses, the things that we're not good at and we have to get better at. We can handle them. If we're not together, then any one of those things can hit us hard. Because, you know, people have expectations of what they want from church. And if that is the main thing, then it will hit us hard. But if we're together and there's a sense of we are one, then we can handle it until we get things better. Amen? Our passage demonstrates the effectiveness in the early church, in Jerusalem, being together. We see in verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. So firstly, they were together in terms of location. At the beginning of chapter 2, it says that they were gathered together in one place. And when they were gathered together in one place, the Holy Spirit came. In terms of that location that they were in. In Hebrews 10, 24-25, it says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, the day of Jesus' return. Every day gets closer." And so, this gathering of being together as a larger body, the church, for us in Romford Ealing, don't be happy with not being at church. One absence can lead to another, and it becomes easier to miss again, and it becomes easier each time you miss to become a little bit more detached. Detached from what is happening, detached because you're not connecting with the body, the local body. The business of life, and it's not even because of sin, generally speaking, it's because the business of life takes over. It's a busy church. A lot of people working in the city, a lot of shift workers, etc. Folks in nursing. A lot of different reasons, logical reasons. But unless we make it a point of, life can take over. It's important, like they were together in one place, that the larger, the need to be together in the larger body is recognized by everybody in that body. Secondly, there's a togetherness in terms of devotion. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. This is the working out of togetherness. Together in terms of devotion. Well, devotion, when you're talking about devoted things, somebody asked me once, well, what is holy water? One of the kids in a school said, what's holy water? Where does it come from? I said, it doesn't come from anywhere special, actually. What makes it special is that it's devoted to God. We're not going to use this except for whatever to do with the Lord. It becomes a devoted thing. And all the things in the temple in the Old Testament, they were devoted to the use within the temple, and therefore they became holy, separated for God's use. And therefore, when you talk about being devoted as people, it is that we devote ourselves to God and to the things of God, to the things that will help us to actually fulfill His plans and His purposes. We are devoted. For them, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. There was total commitment. Total commitment. No half-heartedness. In fact, Revelation tells us that one thing that Jesus hates is lukewarmness or half-heartedness, half in, half out, and you can shift and you can change. What he wants is, if you're in, you're in. Mary Jones, and I'll read this, was from a poor family, the daughter of a weaver who lived near Dolgellau, in Wales. She was born in December 1784. Her parents were devout Calvinistic Methodists. She herself professed the Christian faith at the age of 8. Having learnt to read in the circulating schools organized by Thomas Charles, it became her burning desire to possess a Bible of her own. The nearest copy at a farm was 2 miles distant from her little cottage. There was no copy on sale nearer than Bala, which was 26 miles away. Having saved for 6 years, until she had enough money to pay for a copy, she started one morning in 1800 for Bala, and walked the 26 miles over mountainous terrain, barefoot, as usual, to obtain a copy from Reverend Thomas Charles. the only individual with Bibles for sale in the area. It was the impression that this visit by Mary Jones left upon him that impelled Charles to propose to the Council of the Religious Tract Society the formation of a society to supply Bibles, Wales with Bibles, all as a result of the devotion of this one woman. And that story is but one. It's replicated. You can get hold of tons of stories historically of people, yes, in Wales, in African countries, in Asian countries, who've walked for miles every Sunday to get to church because they love Jesus. They are totally devoted. Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no river wide enough. Ain't no valley low enough to keep them from Him. Devotion. They devoted themselves. Togetherness. Thirdly, in their togetherness, how it's expressed and how it's worked out in the New Testament church here, they were together in terms of belief. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now in 1 John 2:19 we read these words. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. When you're together, you commit to stay together. And an essential part of that is what you believe. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our trust is in Him as our only Savior. And that belief and trust in Him and in Him alone as our Savior forms the cement, the foundation and the cement that keeps us together. If we're getting teaching that hits against His deity, His humanity, His reality, then you know, we avoid that. We come with those who cling to and hold to these tenets of faith, because then we become stronger. And in the New Testament church, their togetherness was expressed in terms of location, coming together. It was expressed in terms of their devotion, their commitment to one another, as well as to the apostles' teaching. And you could say, in terms of their belief in one another. If you take a look around, do you trust your brother and sister? Do you rejoice in their faith? Do you feel that they've got your back because you're part of a body? It was not only just faith in God, but it also faith in one another. So togetherness in terms of their belief. Fourthly, togetherness was expressed in terms of fellowship. Now, the word fellowship is that in the Greek is koinonia. And that's, we tend to think of fellowship as social interaction, social intercourse. But it's much, much more. Actually, within the word koinonia, there's a meaning also of partnership. So like in a marriage, when two people come together in marriage, an important part of that is to be able to get mutually beneficial results from that marriage, i.e. two people together gain something bigger as a result of that partnership. Even in business, you become a partner in business with a lawyer or an accountant because together you'll be able to achieve more. And fellowship involves that aspect as well. So it's not just the social interaction, but there's an interaction of partnership, that we're in a partnership here together. You could almost spit on your hand and shake on it with the person next to you. The minute you accept Christ, you come into a body and into a partnership with other people who also know Him. There's also an aspect of participation in this koinonia. The idea that in this fellowship, everybody's involved. So when people come together in fellowship, it's not that just some sit there and then the others do everything. It is, there's a real sense of we're in fellowship together. We are participating together. All in this one word. It involves also communion. a sharing of one's thoughts and one's emotions, maybe even possessions, in terms of we are together in this. And there is also an idea of a benefactor, someone who helps. So put all that together, and actually the word fellowship, koinonia, is a very rich word. And the idea of fellowship is not just a coming together for social interaction, but it's a partnership, a commitment in that sense to one another. A participation in fellowship, I want to be involved. In communion, I'm willing to, within fellowship, to begin to share my thoughts, my emotions, who I am. And also in fellowship, to be helpful to one another, to give help to one another. So their fellowship or their togetherness was expressed in fellowship. It was also expressed in terms of worship. It says that they broke bread together. They broke bread together. And worship is a key component of togetherness. Breaking of bread obviously is one of the central pillars as Christians. But the spiritual nature of their togetherness marked them out as different from other groups of committed people. We have very committed people out there playing football. They're here most weeks. Very committed. They'll get up early, they'll be here on time, they'll do their thing because they are committed. What makes us any different from them is the spiritual aspect of why we are here, why we are together. It's a spiritual dynamic, which is totally different from what they're experiencing out there. We are called to be different, and being different could cause misunderstanding, could cause trouble for us. This is Octavius, from his writings, a Roman official back then. How he viewed Christians. And now, as wicked things advance more fruitfully and abandoned manners creep on day by day, those abominable shrines of an impious assembly are maturing themselves throughout the whole world. Assuredly, this confederacy ought to be rooted out and destroyed. They know one another by secret marks and insignia, and they love one another almost before they know each other. Everywhere also there is mingled among them a certain religion of lust. They call one another promiscuously brothers and sisters. That even a not unusual debauchery may be the intervention of that sacred name becomes incestuous. It is thus that their vain and senseless superstition glories in their crime. That's a description of us. That's how they viewed it, because they were different. They had their agape feast, their love feast. They were misunderstood as, you know, obviously orgies and stuff were pretty common back then. So they were, these rumors began to go around. Rumors began to go around about the body of Christ, eating the body, being cannibals, eating the flesh. Misunderstandings. But the thing was clear. They were different to everybody else around them. Are we different? Are we different? Because if we are, we'll not always get handshakes. We'll not always get a pat on the back. We'll not always get the door open for us. If we are different, the door may be closed in our faces. We may get insults. But the fact is, we are different. And we are called to be different. And their togetherness expressed itself in worship to God, irrespective of how it was viewed by others. And therefore, you read in the Bible, the musicians out there at the front, before the troops. We come, we gather to worship God and praise God for this morning. More of that, please. Amen? Let's break through. We are actually here, not for social interaction, but to worship Him. The social interaction comes second. First and foremost, it's Him, no matter what our mood. We've got to put that aside because we're here to give Him honor and to give Him glory. And that's why the scripture says in the New Testament, some bring a hymn, some bring a psalm, some bring a prophecy. We come prepared to give, not just to receive. Their togetherness expressed itself, sixthly, in terms of prayer. Throughout the New Testament, everywhere they gathered, there was prayer. It's just a normal, essential part of their everyday life. And today we're under pressure. Again, life can overtake, but we need to pray together. So when we organize stuff for prayer, let's pray. And if it's difficult, let's find a way. We've begun to pray as an eldership now on a Saturday morning, every Saturday morning, 7 till 8, by chat room. So where we can't gather physically in a room, or it might be difficult to gather together to pray, we gather in an online room and we pray. Because we will not be stopped from engaging in prayer and making it happen. Their togetherness was expressed in prayer. And at its very simplest, prayer in the body of Christ or prayer outside of the body of Christ is talking to God, yes. But it's sharing with Him our lives. It's sharing with Him our lives. And therefore we need to pray. We need, as BT said, to talk. Their togetherness expressed itself finally in terms of giving. What's it say there? All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, etc. So, brothers and sisters, I need a house. Give me yours. That would be the worst expression of what the Bible is saying there. It's not saying that, but it's saying that there was such a togetherness that people gave in whatever way they could. For some, it's quite clear they had excess properties, so they sold some to meet the needs of a body that was wide and various. There were Christians who were from Roman backgrounds. There were Christians who were involved with the officialdom. There were Christians who were slaves. It was a wide variety, and therefore a wide variety of needs within that body. And what it's saying is that they were willing to give to the work of God so that the body could be built up and the gospel taken out, and it wouldn't be hindered by finance. And therefore, giving was important. And of course, they carried on where they left off in terms of their Jewish background of tithing, 10%. And therefore, I encourage you in terms of your giving. If we're together in this, let's not let money be a hindrance to the gospel. Let's not let money be a hindrance to whatever God wants. If God wants to give us that building, then we will need finance. Where's it going to come from? Is it somebody else who's going to do it? No, it comes from us, the body of Christ in this locality. But it won't happen unless we're together in this. If there's a sense of being on the edge and outside, then why bother? Why bother giving? But if we are together, it's expressed. One of the expressions is in terms of giving in your locality. So, just to conclude, this really is just as an introduction, but we will begin to just unfold the practicalities of some of these things as the weeks go by. It says there that as a result of their togetherness, people were being added to their number daily. They enjoyed the favor of the Lord and of men. And their togetherness was attractive. It was attractive to people. It was not based on them being the same as everyone else. It was based on them being different. And therefore, as we begin to step into this year, I really want us to get a sense of togetherness. Togetherness. We're going to be re-looking at some of our structures. Obviously, we have what we call a core group system, which basically is a small group system. We have the church, this service, which is the large gathering, but then to really get to know each other, we have smaller groups. And those smaller groups can be service type groups, i.e. the worship group, we need them, they serve, the ushers, they serve their grouping. Or it can be a more spiritual group like a home group, or it can be an age group like the youth or the over 50s or whatever. But smaller groups are essential so that people actually get to know each other and become part of. And the goal that we would love to see is for every single person who feels that Romford Ealing is their church, that they belong to one service group and to one other group where they receive input. But the service group is to serve in whatever shape or form that takes. And we want more of those groups. We need more of those groups at this particular point in time. And it's essential that for those of you who are new, fairly new, to begin to find out how you begin to fit into smaller groups so that you can actually get to know people and people can get to know you. And so, without pressing further into that, because we'll do a little bit more of that next week, they were gathered together. I remember an advert saying, "We want to be together." I can't remember the advert, but I can remember the line. It was so impressed in my mind. I can't remember the advert. It was years ago. We want to be together. And we need to be together in this. Because we've still got some choppy waters. I don't know where the heating has gone today, for example. Because you're all in your scarves and stuff. But so there's still some stuff to iron out just being here. But we'll get there. We will get there. But the important thing is that on that journey, we're together. Because with togetherness comes strength. So, how many people know the Lord's Prayer, the first part of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. How many of you know that in a different tongue than English? Yeah? We're going to pray. And we're going to ask, God's will be done. God's will be done. And I want us to pray and be led by prayers in a different tongue, that first bit. Our Father who art in heaven, because then we'll all know what you're saying. Amen? We'll all know what you're saying. And so, if you want to bow your heads, feel free. If you want to stand and just be open in God's presence, feel free. But the main thing is, let us pray. Let us pray. And then at the end, we'll all pray that first part together in English. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Let's pray. Someone kick us off in your tongue, please. Amen. 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 Let's stand together and say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Oh, we're carrying on. It is in heaven. Carry on, carry on. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, give someone a hug as we leave and recognize we're in this together. This journey, 2020, is only just beginning, okay? God bless you. Have a great day, ladies. Don't forget your list. And for those of you who haven't given us any details, please see the ushers, fill in so that we can contact you.